The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. A very blessed Mother's Day to all of the mothers present. Certainly it's wonderful that we celebrate Mother's Day in the month of May, because that's also in the church the month dedicated to our Mother in Heaven, the Blessed Virgin Mary. So my prayer today for all of you moms is that you will entrust yourselves to Our Lady and renew your commitment to her as the model for all mothers. Today, we celebrate in the church what is typically known as Good Shepherd Sunday. So I'm going to focus my remarks today on the theme of the Good Shepherd. The theme of the Good Shepherd is actually one of the oldest images of Jesus in Rome. In fact, in one of the oldest catacombs in Rome, there's an ancient fresco. It's probably 1,850 years old, the Good Shepherd. That's how ancient the image is. And it's interesting because Jesus is depicted as the Good Shepherd, but Jesus, back in those days, never was painted with a beard. He's clean shaven, like me. Okay? So I don't know when Jesus got a beard, but at some point Jesus got a beard. Okay? So in this depiction, Jesus is a young man, holding a sheep over his shoulders, and it says, "Ego sum pastor bonus," I am the Good Shepherd, okay? It's Latin. So it's interesting because before we think about the image of the Good Shepherd, we should probably spend a moment thinking about the sheep, because a shepherd who has no sheep is not a shepherd, okay? A shepherd, it's like if you're a woman and you don't have kids, you can't be called mom, okay? It's relational. So in order to understand the shepherd, we might want to understand a little bit about the sheep. Now, for some reason, this image of the sheep and the shepherd goes back many, many years. And when you see depictions of the Good Shepherd with the sheep, normally speaking in the painting, usually it's an artwork, the sheep look very cute. They're small, they're white, they're cuddly, they're fluffy. Okay, of course, pictures don't have smells, but if I was inside the scene of the picture, you might say, oh, it's a very nice scene. The reality, though, of sheep is very different. Okay, I mean, it's really, really different. If you've ever been around actual sheep, it's very different. They are not cuddly, they are not fluffy, and rarely are they really even white. Their wool gets dirty. You know, ladies, you wear white pants this time of year, gets dirty quickly. Has to go to the wash right away. Maybe one wear, that's it. Okay? We men know better than to wear white pants. Okay? So, the reality of the sheep and the shepherd, I've always found very funny, right? Because, you know, Jesus is talking about himself as the Good Shepherd. And I wonder if the people listening to him thought to themselves, oh, that's very nice. But the sheep are not exactly animals that we would really want to take home as pets. Okay? So, let me tell you a few things about the sheep that are real. Not only do they smell, because you know what wool smells like when it gets wet? It's not a good smell. Okay, so just think of that. And then the other thing is that the sheep are not very smart. Okay, so I'm wondering if Jesus is kind of telling us in the image, look, you guys are not very smart. Okay, I'm the Good Shepherd, you're the sheep, but you're not really that smart. Now, how do we know this? Okay, because sheep literally will eat anything at their feet. They don't really, if it looks like they can put it in their mouth, they will try. Okay? So the shepherd is always busy, okay, and that's why he needs sheepdogs, not just to protect the sheep from the wolves on the outside, but to kind of move the sheep along if the shepherd wants to keep moving them to greener pastures where it's you know, there's grass that's good to eat. And I've seen this myself in the Holy Land. You watch, you know, today shepherds wear blue jeans, but they still do the work of shepherding, Okay? And, you know, they have to constantly be moving them around because if they stay in one place too long, the sheep just eat whatever's there. Also, the sheep can't see very far. They're very nearsighted. And so what happens is that they can just fall off the edge of a cliff. They wouldn't even know what happened. They just walk, whoop, gone. So the shepherd's very, very busy about the sheep. Okay, so this is not a very flattering picture of us. Okay, if you haven't figured that out by now, I'm trying to tell you, Jesus is telling us by the image, you don't smell very good, you're not very smart, and you can't see. Okay, so that's okay. I'm a sheep too. All right, so don't feel bad. Okay, so what did the shepherd do? What was life for the shepherd like? Okay, the shepherd had several instruments, tools at his disposal. The first is called the pastoral staff or the crozier. This is a long staff. It has a hook at the end, big wooden hook. And it's big enough to fit under the torso of the sheep. So just as the sheep is about to go off the edge, the pastor, the shepherd, that's where you get the word pastor from, shepherd, literally takes the hook around the sheep's neck and pulls him back in. It has to be long so he can reach him. Okay? It's also used to ward off animals at a distance. If a wolf tries to come and attack the sheep, the shepherd can use the long end of the staff to kind of keep the fox or the wolf away. Okay. The other thing is that every night, the shepherd had to take inventory of all the sheep. And they would put them in a cave for the night or like in a pen, but normally a cave. It's the easiest way. So when you go to Bethlehem, for instance, remember the shepherds that received the message of the angel? The field, shepherd's field, where we believe the apparition took place, is full of caves. And caves were a naturally good habitat because they had protection, like a roof. So out of the rain, out of the moisture. And then, you know, you huddle all the sheep together and maybe put a little fire in there. It'll keep them all warm for the night. So every night when the shepherd brought all the sheep in from the fields and put them into the cave for the night to protect them, what he would do is he would take a baton, like a stick, this long, maybe 2.5 feet, no more than 3. And he would take each sheep one by one, calling them by name. And he would literally put them on the ground, and he would use the baton to run it through their fur. And he was checking for wounds, cuts, scrapes. And he would put oil and ointment. This is like what a priest does in confession. You got wounds, scrapes, we call them sins. Okay, and then the priest covers them with the oil to heal them. Okay, and then it's easier to take care of it when it's fresh than if it gets infected. Okay, and so then he put the sheep in one by one. All right, so it's interesting, right, because the shepherd, you know, he didn't treat these animals like they were just animals. Really, if you pay attention to how the shepherd deals with the sheep, it's very much like how we in the West treat our dogs, right? Normally speaking, especially in places like the United States, dogs can have a pretty good standard of living, okay? And so they get food, you call them by name, you pet them, they're attentive, they hear their name, okay, and they perk up, okay? This is the same relationship the shepherd had with the sheep. So it wasn't just like cattle, or, you know, sort of nameless animals out there, but each sheep recognized the shepherd's voice, and each shepherd would give the sheep their own name. And this is the last idea I want to close with this morning when we're considering this image of the good shepherd, because it's very hard in our world today to hear the voice of the good shepherd. It's very hard. We have a lot of competing voices for our attention, lots of competing voices for our attention, and voices that are not of God. Okay? And this happens in many places, in the culture, in our politics, in what we consider to be success. Okay? If you look at the people in the media who try to tell us what is good and what is evil, it's sometimes very twisted, okay? So then we have this whole world in our popular culture today with talk show hosts. This was very much popular more than 25 years ago. But now every news outlet has their own individual spokesman. Many times when I talk to Catholics, all they're doing is just repeating whatever they heard on CNN or Fox. Many times, though, the viewpoints that are shared have nothing to do with the gospel. They're nothing to do with Jesus at all. Right? It's just parroting, you know, without thinking. Right? You have all these divisions. Okay. Part of it is because we are very, very susceptible to this. Most people today learn about the Catholic Church and their Catholic faith through this, not from this. It's constant. It's instant. It's very, very influential, right? That's why they call people who have lots of followers on different platforms influencers. Okay. So one of our jobs as believers is to have a very, very discerning ear for the voice of the Good Shepherd. It's not easy, because so much of what we allow ourselves to be exposed to is not where Jesus is communicating to us. He's communicating to us in silence, in deep prayer, and through works of charity. Right? Jesus isn't about slogans. He isn't about political positions. He isn't about economic systems. He's actually about a life of virtue and a life of truth and a life of holiness. That often is not what you'll find here. Promise. Okay. So we should pray today in a special way to be particularly discerning. It's important for us, right? We should be able to take a step back from our lives and say, okay, what influences my world? Or am I hearing the voice of Jesus? Am I actually hearing the voice of Jesus? Or is it just my thoughts? All right. Do I turn to the revealed word of God in Holy Scripture to learn what God has to tell me about his plan for me or his desires for my heart? I mean, these are all very basic things. We all learn these as kids, by the way, as children. I'm not telling you anything new. But what might be new is that we have to rediscover the basics. Just the basics. And if we can recommit ourselves to that on a daily basis, I think that we'll be much more well-positioned to actually hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. So maybe it is appropriate that Jesus said, like the sheep, we can't see very far, we don't smell so good, and we'll eat just about anything. We do. We do. And I think that as much as the image is very humorous in a way, it also communicates a real great deal of truth about who we are. But thank goodness we have the Good Shepherd. Right? He leads us to pastures of eternal life. Let us listen for his voice and know truly when we hear it. May Jesus Christ be praised both now and forever. Amen.